Why did Jesus seem to be so critical of the Pharisees? Welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring issues of faith and the Bible. Our discussion focuses on the Gospel of Luke this week, and in particular, the title of this lesson is Following Jesus in Everyday Life. My name is Paul Dibdahl. I'm joined by Professor Pam Kress, who is a part of the School of Social Work and Sociology at Walla Walla University, and Professor Daryl Bigger, a colleague of mine in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Thanks for joining me today. So throughout the Gospels, throughout Luke, Jesus, who seems generally nice to people, has some rather stern words for Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees?
These were the compulsive, conservative religious people, right? Who were determined to live up to the expectations they had thought that God had of them.
Okay. So serious, religious people.
Very committed.
They were
committed. And self-disciplined.
Okay. Common people at the time of Jesus, Pharisees were a group, a kind of a sect within within that society. The common people, what did they think of Pharisees?
I would think they would think they were kind of above them, that they had much more authority and power than they themselves would, and probably looked up to them in some way.
They did. They saw them as, for that, that was sort of their idea. Most of the common people would have thought Pharisee is sort of the ideal of where all of us should probably be there or strive for that. They're really the good folks. So why is Jesus so critical of them? I think you hinted at it already, Daryl. What was it? What were the qualities, the characteristics, I should say, that Jesus seemed to take issue with?
They became legalistic and compulsive and self-sufficient.
And intolerant.
Inflexible. Yes. I think we as religious people too easily fall into that distorted view of what God's expectations are for us. These people could line up historical facts to support why it is they thought they had to live so carefully. Because when the nation didn't do that, disaster descended on them. So they were kind of protecting themselves and all the other people in the nation from the devastation of foreign attacks. So they were doing it right, and everybody else was risking their national success. It was up to them to do this well.
And then Jesus takes issue. In fact, in Luke, there's an occasion where in Luke chapter 11, that Jesus is so straightforward with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that we have the response of one of them that says, "Teacher," saying this to Jesus, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us. You insult us also." So I'm going to move to an application question, maybe too rapidly here, but are there Pharisees nowadays?
Yes, I think there probably are, and maybe each of us have Pharisaical tendencies at times.
Daryl's kind of given us a list. Any of those that we resonate with?
The intolerant or the ungracious, the too compulsive.
I'm meddling here a little bit. It just strikes me that I feel like I am pretty good at picking out Pharisees around me. I got pretty good eyesight when it comes to this. I'm a little less gifted at recognizing a Pharisee when I'm looking in the mirror. And I guess what I'm hoping, and maybe I shouldn't require either of you to do it on the air here, but I guess it's a kind of appeal that we not simply talk about those Pharisees, but that we spend some time asking ourselves, the ways in which we maybe fit that description rather closely. I'm a fairly careful religious person, and there are a lot of things I don't do because of my religion and my faith about my belief about the way a person is supposed to live to please God. I need to probably be careful that I don't fall into the Pharisaical perspective on the world and on other people. Is that all right, the way I said it? Any of you want to chime in here, or we can move on if we need to?
No, I'm in deep reflection, and just probably conviction maybe is the word, of the same kind of intolerance in my own life. When you look in the mirror and you're not able to see those things, and sometimes those kinds of things come to you through other people if you're listening very carefully mm-hmm. to that. And I value the input of some people. Some people I don't listen to, but other people I do. And when they speak to me and say, Pam, you're off base here, or you're too intolerant, or that was an ungracious comment, it is time at that time to step back and say, okay, I need to listen and sit up and pay attention.
On the other hand, to go to the opposite extreme would not be wise either, wouldn't it?
Right.
To have no standards,
that's
and
right.
no values, and no
right.
expectations as to how one could
right.
could be most productively live.
Right. So we need help. I think we need to be in touch with what Jesus, how Jesus lives, to call us to that kind of faithfulness to Him, that obedience mm-hmm. to Him, and yet at the same time not develop. I keep coming back to it, but those Pharisaical tendencies, mm-hmm. I'll say it that way. Jesus, shifting gears here a little bit, Jesus didn't just warn against or warn the Pharisees, but he also warns in Luke 12 against all kinds of greed. That phrase jumped out at me, all kinds of greed. What kinds of greed are there that we should be wary about? Any ideas? He doesn't spell it out for us there. He just says, be careful of all kinds of greed.
It resonates with me with Paul's statement later in the New Testament when he says he's learned to be content, whatever his circumstance is. It's kind of finding a center of peace where you are instead of trying to gain more at the expense of other people.
Whether that more is money or power or control or whatever else.
Fame or influence or...
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm going to skip to a situation near the end of Jesus' ministry. In Luke chapter 22, we discover that the disciples of Jesus, the 12, are sort of jockeying there for positions of power. They argue about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus talks about a fundamental difference between leaders in the world and how it should be among them. What's that fundamental difference that he draws? Not so. It shouldn't be this way among you.
Yeah. He shouldn't be struggling with one another to be king of the mountain, huh? There ought to be a cooperative venture, a sense of camaraderie here.
Yeah, but we don't do that well, do we?
No.
Even though you may know that is
a
good way to do it, and here's how we really want to operate.
It's in this context that Jesus says, I am among you as one who serves. I'm not someone among you who is lording it over you, but I'm among you as one who serves. That word is the same word that in other places is translated as minister. So service or ministry, servant or minister. The connotations there of that word actually is most closely associated with service at table, serving at a table. So what, I'm going to ask again, a reflection question, what does that mean then if we aren't to be grasping for positions of power, as is the case in the world, but we should be among others as one who serves. And if we think of it in that connotation, what does it mean then to be a minister of a local church? What does it mean to be someone who follows Jesus and keeps that in mind? Help us out.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things are going on in my head, and one is about the whole concept of servant leadership, which we hear a lot about even in today's society. That seems almost, an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, again, a reference I remember my father telling me, who I thought was the consummate professional, was you should not be willing to tell other people to do things for you that you aren't willing to do yourself. So in mm-hmm. other words, a good leader is one who actually is able to do everything and would be serving others and looking to resource others.
Mm-hmm.
And in the doing of that, there's kind of a power, I'm not sure power is the right word, but there's kind of an influence that comes with that kind of expression of servanthood that gives greater blessings than mm-hmm. if you're just striving to be the one on the top mm-hmm. of the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what your position is, you're always at that servant, mm-hmm. at that servant level. I don't know, Daryl, mm-hmm. you thinking the mm-hmm. same things? Or?
Yeah. You act on behalf of the community
mm-hmm.
instead of for your own good.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there an irony here, if that's the correct word? And that is that as you act on behalf of the community, it's not just a blessing to them, but isn't it the case that that's where we find meaning mm-hmm. and purpose, not in greed for power and control over people, but as we pour out our lives, so to speak, on behalf mm-hmm. of others, in service of others, we ourselves are blessed. We find meaning. We find joy. So I think Jesus knew what he was talking about when he gave this kind of appeal to his disciples. And I think the appeal ought to ring in our ears today as well. Let us be among one another, interact with one another as servants, as Jesus did. Thank you, Daryl and Pam, for your willingness to talk, share with us today. Thanks also to David Olson, our program engineer. And thank you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.